I had the privilege of getting to meet him for the first time in 2013. And we as a church, we intercede on behalf of this man. The Lord confirmed, I think it was back in maybe June, that you were going to be our vision conference speaker. And I love how all that, we just knew it. It was like, this is the man. It's been several years, 2015, I believe, since you were last here at our church. And so to say that this is a man of God is really an understatement. This man, he is like the Apostle Paul in India. And not only does he pastor a church, this dear beloved brother trains pastors. Most of it, you'll see his table, you know, throughout the week. All these men, these are men that Pradeep has trained up and he's sent out, and he's trying to fulfill Acts 1:8. I mean, he takes it seriously. And so he is allowing all these parts of Rayagada and Orissa, India, the unreached areas where people have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, we're going there. We're taking the gospel. And so it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see how this man's bringing light into such a dark part of the planet. And I say dark, it's one of the most spiritually dark parts of our planet. And so he takes care of orphans. I mean, he'll share with us how God's been opening some doors for that. Widow's ministry. I mean, it's beautiful what he's doing. But most importantly, he preaches the gospel and makes disciples. And he trains other men. He's got Bible Institute. He runs a Bible Institute, and he's got 15 people right now currently in it. These guys are hungry for the word. It's a 4-year institute. And so we could talk about what God's doing, but we'll let him share all that stuff, especially tonight as it gets a little more personal. But one last thing I want to mention before he comes up is, you know, a lot of men that are in his position who God greatly uses, you look up close at their lives, and you're like, wow. It's very difficult for me to respect this person. I just see, you see flaws because everybody's human. But there's something about this man's character that's just beautiful. And the more you get to know Pastor Pradeep, you see that he is the real deal. I remember our trip in 2013, we didn't have the funds to go to witness to some mountain villages nearby. And I remember it was expensive. Petroleum would be expensive. And I says, Pastor, I don't know how we're going to get the money. We didn't have, it wasn't planned. I don't know if you remember that, but I loved his answer. It was, we're going to trust the Lord. He wasn't concerned. And he's never been pushy about money and all the resources that, you know, the Western world has. He just says, I just want to serve the Lord and watch him provide. And so his character is impeccable. Even just, we've loved having you in the home the last few days, because he's like, oh, let me do the dishes, let me clean, let me cook. And this guy can cook. But he's a humble man. So when Mike said, we pray that you guys rub off on us, we mean that. So let's give this man of God a hearty welcome.
Okay. Thank you. a great joy and privilege to be back again here. And I thank God for the wonderful time, the opportunity again He has given me. And also I would like to thank Pastor Mike. He's a wonderful man of God. You know, while he was singing here with all the musics, I was thinking about him that he's an all-rounder player, we can say, all-rounder. He can fix the latrine, bathrooms, he can fix everything. He can even fix the church, he can preach the wonderful messages. He's a wonderful man that I have seen in my life. And also, his partner, Pastor Bo, is a wonderful man. Both are like gifted person. They are here. God has kept here for you. So you must be rejoicing, giving thanks for these guys, you know. Very gifted and very talented people. And also I want to thank Pastor Mike, Pastor Bo, and also Pastor Brian Hedges from HBF for this wonderful opportunity that they have organized. They have invited me to come back again after several years. Around 7 years' time, you know, I was here. The vision conference is wonderful. This evening I'm going to share how it works, how it worked in my life. I'm going to share that. That they're not just spending money to do all the things, bringing people from around the world. But there is something here in this vision conference that I have learned and I have done. God has used me, and that's what this evening we are going to talk to you on that. We'll be hearing on that point. Vision conference, very, very important. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Without vision, people are perishing today. I see in India, live about India. India is a Hindu nation, Hindu country. But when I think about America, you know, America is one of the wonderful countries in the whole world. The most reaching country, the most missionaries came up from this US, this country. But when we see people are, you know, there on their own ways, they're running, and they don't have God now in their hearts. Sorry to say that you are good people, you are wonderful people, but God is good, and whatever the Holy Spirit leads me, I'll just bring it out. So I'm so thankful for the church, for everyone that you have been praying for me, and you have been loving me, sending supports for the missions in India. We have been doing so many things. So it's only because of your prayer and your love I'm compelled to do all the things, you know. And God is great in our lives. So when we think about this time, the present world, how it's going, where it's going and how it's going, it's very serious. Very seriously we have to think, you know. When I have started from India, my travel, my journey, I never heard anybody is talking about the war. What is going on in Israel, Gaza, all the Hamas is going on, and that is there in the Bible. People are not thinking, you know. People are, all are like they are occupied in their own businesses, own works, own jobs, own things, you know. Nobody is thinking. Just yesterday, Pastor Bo and I, we were thinking, discussing few points on that. But we have to be very serious, because the time of Christ is at hand, is going to come. It is very clear that the knowledge of the world blinded us, and we are not able to understand the plan, the will of God. We are not able to see what God is doing, how the prophecies in the Bible, the Old Testament prophecies, Daniel 9:24 to 27, we see how it is fulfilling. how Jesus' word is fulfilling. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I'm coming soon and my rewards are with me. There are many passages in the Bible we see in the New Testament. Around 318 times, Jesus said, I'm coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. But slowly, we are forgetting what is the plan of God, what is the will of God. The Satan is really puzzling us, blinding our hearts, and we are not able to understand the will of God. We should be very serious about this time, because God is doing something, and we have to be very, very serious, very much thinking about this time. God is good, and He is using us, and He is faithful to us. Though we are unfaithful, He is faithful. Bible says in the book of Timothy, it says that while we are unfaithful, He is faithful. Glory to God, because He is faithful to us, or else would have been consumed. We would have gone, because He is gracious. His grace is sufficient for us, and He is with us. Jesus spoke to His disciples. When we think about Luke chapter 17, 26 to 28, Jesus is talking about His coming. Jesus is giving some signs of His coming. Jesus is telling His disciples about His coming. How imminent is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very clear on that. In Matthew 24:3, when the disciples went to Jesus Christ, privately they went, they asked Him, Lord, when are You coming? What are the signs of Your coming? And Jesus was very clear on that. Jesus said, you disciples, this is not none of your business. You should not know that. But I am going to give you some signs that you can understand when I'm coming back. And He says very clearly that before His coming, there will be certain things. And we know very clearly the American Christians are very matured in the Word of God. Very, very powerful in the Word of God. Right from the beginning, from childhood, they learned the Word of God. But I want to just remind you of that Jesus is coming soon. In verse 6, Matthew 24, 6 and 7 says, like, Jesus tells the disciples about His sign of the end times. Verse 6 says, ye shall hear the words and rumors of wars. That's what we have been hearing. That's what we have been seeing now. What's going on? The entire world, the Middle East is, the Middle East countries, they are after Israel. We know very, very clearly how it is going to be. In Israel, only 93 lakhs people. Very small nation, small country. But the whole world is focusing on Israel, because there is something in that. Jesus is there. Jesus' vision is there. Jesus' prophecies are there. So, dear God's people, we have to understand that Jesus is saying that before My coming, you will see some signs and wonders. The rumors of war and the wars you will hear. The whole world is preparing for the third world war now. Joel 3, 9 and 10 says, the people, they are just, they are preparing for the world. The sickles are being broken, being destroyed, and they are making the pierce. And the plows are being made, being used for the swords. That talks very clearly about the word. We can say that is the third world war is going to come. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We just want to live our own life. We want to enjoy our life. We want that, let Jesus delay some more time. Some people must be thinking that he should not come. But he's going to come. He's going to come. The Bible is true, and he's going to come. We have to know that very clearly. And we have to be alert for his coming. Jesus is going to come, and the world is going. One of the signs, like wars and rumors of wars, that is going on right now. The whole world, in India, in Odisha, we think of that. Every day in my house, every day in the church, I have even preached the message on that. The signs of his coming. The signs of end times. Just recently I preached in our church in Raigada, in Odisha. Jesus is going to come. So the main point that the war and the rumors of war we see, and then extreme materialism. People are not happy what they have. They're not content with what they have. We need more and more and more and more. God has so much blessed us. In a tremendous blessing, God has blessed us. But we need more and more. Slowly, we are forgetting God's plan, God's vision in our lives. Yes, God's people, we have to understand that. Paul says, like in Philippians chapter 4, 12 and 13 says, I am content with what I have. In every circumstances, I am content. In everything, I am okay. I have learned to be content. The extreme materialism is going on now. People are not being satisfied what is given to them. What are the blessings? We have to remember God's blessing. David says, like, give thanks to the Lord, and my whole like soul, my spirit, my entire life, I want to give thanks to him. He's reminding of his to his life, what has been done to him, how God has blessed him. God has really blessed us. One of the blessings is we have received the free gift of salvation. Free gift of salvation. That is enough. I don't have anything to argue with God. I don't have anything to question to God. The main thing, the salvific part is given to us. That the eternal life is rendered to every one of us. We should be happy with that. God has blessed us. Apart from that, there are many blessings that we have received. So we should be content. Jesus had no place to lay his head. If you see like Matthew 8:20, he didn't have any place to lay his head. But we are asking more and more and more and more and more. We need more. But this is the time that we should think about God. We should be very cautious about God's timing. That's what I want to tell you, God's people. So we have to be very careful what God is going to do and how God is dealing with the world. We have to know that. Today, in this conference, actually, I want to talk about the Bema seat of Christ. The Bema judgment seat of Christ. We should be ready for the Bema. There is a judgment. I am saved. I have eternal life. And my salvation is not going to be lost. I know that very clearly. Pastor Bo and the team came and they taught us. We are very happy with that. We have eternal security. My salvation is not going to be lost. I know that very, very well. But one thing is there, that I must be standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I have to stand. I'm not talking about you, friends, but I'm talking to myself that one day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When we think about the judgment seat, judgment, it is This is not for the punishment, we know that. We are already out of the punishment. In Romans 8:1 says, like those who are in Christ, for them there is no condemnation. Those are in Christ. We are out of the condemnation. We are the blessed people. We are the people of eternal life. But the thing that I have to give an answer to the Lord one day, the time He has entrusted me, the time He has given me, one day I am going to show Him. I have to open my mobile phone and give all the accounts to the Lord. Lord, You have given me 70 years. Lord, You have given me 80 years. I'm going to give Him the details. We never want to give accounts to others. We want to be our own boss, own masters. We never want anybody to ask us how the things going on, how much I'm spending, how much I'm getting, what I'm doing. But one day we are going to give our accounts to the Lord. The Bible is very clear on that. If we see like in the book of Corinthians, we see that in the Romans chapter 14:12 says that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we are accountable to God. And God is going to ask us how much time He has given us. There are many judgments, seven judgments in the Bible. But particularly I want to deal with this, that the judgment seat of Christ is meant for the believers. It is only for the believers, not for the non-Christians, not for the Gentile world. This is for you and me. We should be very careful about that. We should be thinking about that. God has placed that in the Bible so that we should be working for Him. We should be laborious for His kingdom, for His glory. That judgment is for us, so we have to know that very clearly, God's people, and God is going to ask us that timing. So God has given us time, and we should be very careful about that time. Today I'm going to talk on time. God has given us the time. Jesus is the judge at the Bema seat, and we are the people to be judged. We are to be judged. So this is to think about. We should be very carefully think about it. We all are going to stand. The Bible says very clearly, dear God's people, and we have to give our answers to the Lord. What I did, how I'm doing, what is the business of the church, how it's going. We have to know that. God has placed the church upon this world so that we can be glorifying His holy name. We can be exalting His holy name. We will be witnessing the name of Jesus Christ. My vision, Romans 15:20, that my ambition, my goal is to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. That's how I'm working in India, in Odisha. I'm working and God is blessing me. God is giving me more souls. Live about the Bible college. Live about the orphanage. Live about the widow's ministry. Live about the church planting. But God is giving me souls. Bible says, he who wins a soul is wise. He who wins a soul is wise. It's not written here that he who wins money is wise. He who wins medals is wise. But the Bible is very clear. He who wins a soul is wise. And God is doing that. I thank God and I thank you all for praying for us and sending us. Sending us your prayer, love and support for India. I thank God for that. So let's just see few verses from 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15. Mainly I'll be reading from 13 to 15. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by the fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 13. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Very important verses. And from 10 to 11, 12, we see like Paul is very clearly mentioning that, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's very important. And verse 12 says, now if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, stubbles. There are two categories here we see. Gold, silver, and precious stones. These are representing the living work, the work, there is life in it. But here, wood, hay, stubble, it represents the dead work that we do. Most of the time we think, I'm okay, I'm doing good. My work with the Lord is good. What I'm doing is good. I'm going to the job, I'm doing so and so work, and everything is good. I think myself, I speak to my heart like that. But am I really pleasing the Lord? Am I really understanding the will of God? Am I really sparing my time for God's work, God's mission, God's will? That is very, very important. 1 John 2:28 says, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We should not be ashamed before him. That is the point. When he comes, when he sets up his bima seat on mid-air, after the rapture, it takes place in the mid-air. That is not for punishment already. I said not for condemnation, but for rewarding the faithful men and women. Those who have given their times. Those who have used their gifts. Those who have used their finances. Whatever God has blessed them, if they have faithfully used, for that they'll be rewarded. For that is the judgment we know. And our time is very precious, very important. God has given us the time. What sort of work I'm doing? I have to think about it. I have to examine myself, what work I'm doing. Am I pleasing God, or am I pleasing my boss? Am I working for God's kingdom, or am I just thinking about my life? Dear God's people, we have to think about it, and at least we have to think, we have to be concerned about God's work. This is the time that Satan is really blinding us and hardening our hearts, that we are not able to know the will of God, not able to know the plan of God. Slowly we are missing the mark. Slowly we are going out of the plan of God. The will of God, God's will. 2 Peter 3:9 says, no one to perish. Am I the part in that? Am I in the center of God's will? Am I really doing something for God's kingdom? Is God happy in what I am doing, in what I am involved in? We have to examine ourselves. We have to ask questions to ourselves. God's people, we have to know that God has given us time. Enough time he has given us. I was thinking about the time. Very seriously I was thinking about the time. So time is handed over and trusted to every one of us, and it's very precious, and we have to know this. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we are the stewards of the given time. God has given the time, and I should be the right steward. I should be the faithful steward of the time which is given to me. God has given me that time. It's very, very clearly. Sometimes we're not able to understand about the time, you know. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, and be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Understand the will of God. We have to understand the will of God. And God has given us time. The Bible says very clearly that we have time given to us. And also we see like there are two Greek words for time. One is like chrono. It is as usual time. As usual time that I'm not cautious about the time. I'm not careful about God-given timing. As I want, I'm using my time. As I'm happy, I'm using the time. That is called the chrono, as usual time, the worldly timing, the normal time. But another time is there that is called kairos. Kairos is God-given timing. God has entrusted His plan, His time to us. A time is appointed. Bible is very clear on that. In Job 7:1 says, God says, there is an appointed time for man. A time is appointed. You know that very clearly. A time is appointed. We have a fixed time. God has given us time for His glory, for His glorious mission, for His purposes, for His will, for His mission. God has given us the time. Of course, we have many things to do. We have our families. We have our children. We have our educations. We have our job. We have to earn money. We have to save money. There are many details in our lives, but remember that our time is limited. Our time is appointed. If one more COVID comes, maybe many will go. We pray that it should not come back again. Even in India, we were very much suffering. People had no food to eat. So our ministry at church, we used to go village to village, provide the rice, dal, oil, so that they can eat, their children can eat. It was very severe time for us, for the whole world. Our time is very limited. We are, you know, on a fixed time that we have to know. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season or time. The season, we can say time. Ecclesiastes 3:17, 8, 6 says, there is time for every purpose and work. Every purpose and work, there is time. God has fixed that. God has given us a time. The book of Psalms says, 90:10-12, that a time is recorded here. You know, our life has a certain time, few days. Only for few days we are here. You must be thinking, this pastor has come from India and preaching on funeral. No, don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking about the time. This is very important time that God has given us. We are on this world, and very, very seriously we have to take on this time. Think about this time that God has given us 70, 80 years. I was thinking,
One day I was calculating how many days already I have spent, how many days are already gone, and how many days are remaining for me on this world, and what am I doing, how the business of the church is going. I was thinking, as a pastor, as a leader of the church, as a missionary pastor, as a man who received the vision from God, I was thinking, Lord, my days, I am 45 years old. Half of my days are gone. I have very limited time upon this world to work for Jesus, to work for God. I was just thinking, and that's how I'm compelled to do. I go village to village and preach the gospel. I go to even very far places. I'm not limited because I know my time is very short. My time is very limited. Half of the days already gone. I have little time with me. And while it is day, I have to work. Jesus said, while it is day, I have to work. I have to do my Father's will. When the darkness comes,
when the night comes,
I may not be able to work. The night is coming. Remember this word. The night is coming. Maybe in America, you may not be able to preach the gospel. The time is coming. In India, our government, if lasts for 10 years now from now, maybe all the doors of the gospel may close. So our time is now that we should preach, we should witness, we should be ready to go for the missions and do the will of God. We have limited times. Moses, he prays to God that, Lord, help me so that I can number my days. It's very important to number our days. We have to count our days. We have to count our words. What I'm doing. What God wants me to do. That is very, very important. And this should be our prayer as well. We should also pray like that. Lord, please teach us so that we can number our days. We can count every days. Most of the time, like we forget all these things. We neglect. We never think of this one. But God wants that we should count our days. How many days is remaining? 70 years to like 25,550 days. How many days gone? Around half of the days gone. And I have a limited time. Dear God's people, we should be very much thinking about it. God has entrusted His valuable time, His precious time. And this is the right time for Him. Right time for me to be witnessing for Jesus, to be standing for Jesus, to be speaking the name of Christ to the unreached people groups. Very important. Our time is very short. Job 1:21 says, our life is loan from God. It's loan. At any time He can claim it. Oh, you have taken this much loan, this much year, 70 years I have given you. 70 years is not guarantee. There is no guarantee of 70 years. That also I want to remind, I want to tell you. There is no guarantee of life. We have taken loan from God. He has given, He has taken it back. Loan. And also, like James 4:14 says, our life is like vapor. It can vanish. It can go anywhere. And Psalm 95:6 says, our life is like dream and grass. Dream. Oh, last night I have seen some dream, but morning I am forgetting it. I don't remember what I have seen, like Nebuchadnezzar, the king. He saw that dream, but he has forgotten that. So he is just looking for some people, wise men, to interpret the dream, to tell him. He's not saying that I have seen these things and last night I was sleeping and I saw something like that. Not even saying that. He has forgotten completely. Our life is like that. Our life is like dream. Grass, it can dry any time. But God has given us that time. Our life is dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, we are dust. The word dust comes from Hebrew word Adama. The word Hebrew word Adama means dust of the ground. We are made out of the ground. And it's going to go to the ground. It will return to the ground. It's very clearly said. And our life is like smoke. Psalm 102:3 says, our life is like smoke. It can go anywhere. It can vanish in no time. In a second, it can go. God has given us time, and we should be respecting. We should be honoring. How can I honor Him? God has given me the time, and I should be faithful. I should be faithful stewards of the time. Don't feel bad that I'm telling all the things that we are just spending our times, some time like wood, hay, and stubbles. That is not counted. God is not counting. God is not counting only my educations, my jobs. All the time we want to enjoy. We want to make merry. We want to do what is pleasing to us. But God is not counting that. God is counting, how am I using for God's glory? How am I using God-given time, the Kairos time, how I am using that? That is very important. That's how God is going to reward us. That's how He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful. Come and receive the joy. Come to my glorious kingdom. So we have to be very careful about the time and God has given us, and we are going to answer for the time. So now we have to be very, very careful that how am I using my time? Is it in the will of God? Am I in the will of God? Am I really doing God's work? Am I thinking, am I in the church business? Am I really faithful to the work of God? There are many things to do. There are things to be done. We have not done yet. Paul said, he was given certain time and he said, I have fought a good fight and I have run my course. I have kept the faith. He has done his job. In Acts 9:6, 15 and 16. Acts 9, Paul is asking, Lord, what you want me to do? What am I to do for you, Lord? Please let me know. We should also ask the same question. Lord, what you want me to do? How can I be used for your glory? How can I be useful for your mission? Then Christ is telling him, verse 15 and 16, you are my chosen vessel. You are my chosen vessel. You had extreme hatreds for the pastors, preachers, servants of God, but now you are going to be my chosen vessel. You will be that. You will be in that position. God put him there, in the same place where he was hating, where he had great hatreds to the preachers, God's people, and Christ is saying that you will be my chosen vessel. You will be my servant. And then Christ is saying to him that you are going to carry my name. You are going to carry my name. He was persecuting Christians, preachers, those who are preaching the name of Christ. Even he was involved in killing of Stephen, the first deacon of the church. He was there, he was involved. And Christ is saying that you are going to carry the name of Christ. You are going to carry my name now. And then he's saying in verse 16 that you are going to suffer. You have persecuted. You have met people to suffer. Now you are going to suffer. You are going to go through so that you can experience. So he's saying like, I have done my job. It should be our words also. It should come from our lives that, Lord, what job you have given me, the task you have given me, I did it, Lord. I did it. We should be saying that. It should be our words as well. As Paul said, he said, very boldly he said, that the time of my departure come. 2 Timothy 4:6 says, I'm going to depart very soon. I'm going to be beheaded very soon. But the job is done. The task which was given, that the work which was entrusted on the way to Damascus, I have finished it. I have done it. God has given us certain time and we should be very careful about it. How am I using my time? How am I using my days? Whether I'm pleasing the Lord or not. Whether I am available for God. Most of the time, we are very much arrogant, you know. We show arrogance to the Lord that I don't have time. We say to God, the giver of time, Lord, I don't have time. The one who has given me time, I say no to him, Lord, I don't have time to go to the church. I don't have time to go to the missions. I don't have time to go for soul winnings. I don't have time to witness. Jesus said, you are my witness. You are my witness. Very individually, he is talking to you. He is talking to me that I am his witness. I have to sense that. I have to understand that God has called me. God has given me a burden. God has given me a unique privilege upon the world to be witnessed, to be witnessing for him. I have to carry the name of Christ, name of God. Jesus said, again I want to remind you that John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Already I have spoken that one. The night is coming that no one can work. This is the right time. Ministry, the church is not business. The church is not business. Ministry is not business. Ministry, mission is not moving whole world, going here, going there. I have to be focused on God's word. I have to do what he wants me to do. Very, very important, dear God's people, we have to understand that God has entrusted a limited time to us. A precise time is given to us. The Kairos time is given to us. And I should be honoring that. I should be glorifying God through that. Jesus says in John 4:34-35, my meat is to do the will of God. The will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My vision, my goal is to finish, to do the will of God. It's very, very important and we know Jesus knew very well. He was counting his days. He was counting his days when his mother asked him in a feast, in a celebration. In John 2, we know Mary went to Jesus and asked that you have to do something. Woman, my time has not yet come. My time, he was very much careful about his time. The specified time, the time which was given to him, he was very careful about that. He's speaking, my time has not yet come. And he's telling his disciples, John 14:2, that I am going to prepare mansions for you. I'm going to prepare good houses for you. In Indian language, we call it house. I'm going to prepare buildings for you, and I'm going to come back. Jesus is talking about rapture here. I'll come and take you, and we will be together. Jesus was very careful about his time, that he was counting every day, every day, every second, every minute he was counting. So, dear God's people, we have to understand the plan of God. We have to know the will of God. And the time which was entrusted to us, we should be faithful, we should be glorified. If I am not using for God, if I am not using the time given to me for God, I can't glorify Him. God cannot be glorified. The whole life, I am just wasting like anything. Whole life, I am busy. Busy being under Satan's yoke. Always people are saying like busy, busy, busy. In Odisha, in India, people say busy. If we say something, let's go to that church, I'm busy. Let's go to God's work, I'm busy. Let's go to mission, I'm busy. All are busy. Satan is blinding. Satan is really putting a kind of yoke upon the people. People are not able to understand the time. Time is very precious. Time is precious than gold, silver, gold, diamond, and dollar, I can see. It's very precious. Very, very precious. I want to request all the young men and women, don't only spend time in studying.
Education.
America has education. Right from the beginning, from the childhood, people are educated. Always people are thinking about education, about job, about buildings, about so many things. In India, the same. People are just thinking about that. But one day we have to give our accounts to the Lord, and we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And very important, that is, we have to know that. Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 13 and 14, Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ said, sued me. Peter is saying, like, very soon I am going to leave. My time is already up. I want to tell you that Peter was counting his days. He was very aware of his time. The time was entrusted to him by Christ. My time is going to go now. Very soon I am going to leave. He was counting his time. And Job, in Job 19:25-27, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I shall see him. I shall see him. He is going to stand. I know my Redeemer liveth. We have to know that. He's going to. That means Job is saying, Job was very careful about his timing, the time God has given him. He was very cautious about that. He was very careful about that. And he's saying that my Redeemer liveth, he's going to stand. He is going to come. I believe this is the millennial reign of Christ, that when Christ will come, the rapture will take place, and then the tribulation will go through, and then Jesus will set up his kingdom. That is called the 1,000 years reign of Christ, the reign of Jesus Christ. And that's what maybe Job is talking about, that he is going to stand upon the earth. He's going to come back. It's very important, very, very important thing that we should know the timing and how, why God has put me here and how I'm doing. What am I doing? I have received the Holy Spirit. I have received the eternal life. the free gift of salvation I have received, but am I faithful for that? Am I using that? Am I really thinking about that? Am I thinking with God? We have to think with God. We have to think with the plan of God. It's very, very important. There are many, many wonderful men, women. They came. Dr. Billy Graham is the famous missionary or the evangelist, I can say. He knew his time very well. Many times he preached, I saw his messages that our time is short. Our time is short. I heard many times. I'm longing to go to my Father. I'm longing to go to Jesus. He was just preaching that messages. Here also I believe there are some spirit-filled men here, wonderful men here, Pastor Mike, Pastor Bo. There are here so many brothers and sisters are here. And you know very well about the time. So the time is very important. We have to know that and we should use it for God's glory, for God's kingdom. The unbelievers, they never think of timing. They never think about God. The God has given them time that they never understand. They're the unbelievers. In India it happens, you know. They just think that the time is given so that they can enjoy. They can make merry. They can do this and that. That's what they think. But we are believers. We are the people of the Holy Spirit. We are the people with the eternal life. We are the people of God's Word. God's Word, God's eternal Word is given to us. We read every day. We study, meditate upon God's Word every day. We should be very careful about that. Not like the unbelievers, you know. Very important. Paul says very clearly, there are many things to say, but because of the time, I don't want to go further. But Paul says, we just a few things about Paul, and then I can finish the message. Yeah, Paul was the wise builder. Wise master builder. We can say, why he was wise? Master builder, because he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. To preach the word of God, he never backed down. He never went back. Always he kept on preaching. He says, like in Romans 1:16, he says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Why he is saying that? When he said that, prior to this verse, many things took place in his life. He had gone through several experiences. And then he's saying that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we see Acts 16, 23 and 24, that by this time, Paul had been imprisoned in Philippi. He was in Philippi jail. And then if we see Acts 17:10, he was chased out of Thessalonica. He was chased out of Thessalonica while preaching the gospel. Acts 17:14, he was smuggled out of Berea. And in Acts 17:32, he had been locked in Athens. People laughed at him. What are you doing, foolish man? Once I was preaching in a school, just people, the college students were coming out and I was passing out the gospel tracts. Some people, they said, you are a foolish man. My heart was broken. I went to a solitary place and I wept for some time. Lord, am I doing the right one? Am I doing the right job? People are mocking at me. Once I was preaching the gospel, passing out the gospel tracts, the man said, get out from me. It was very heartbreaking for my life. God was testing me, you know. God was testing me like the man said, just get out from, like a beggar, he did to me. Many times it happened in the life of Paul. Paul was locked in Athens. People were mocking at him. People were like laughing at him. They were criticizing him. But he never backed down. He never stopped preaching the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel, because that is the power of salvation. There is power, the dynamite. The word dynamite is used. It's a transforming power, life transforming. It has joy, life, eternal life. He knew that very clearly, so he never stopped. If we see 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 23, then in Corinth, people told him, you are a fool. They told him, you are a fool. But anyway, Paul stood for Christ and he's saying, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. If I am not faithful to the gospel, then woe unto me. The Bible says very clearly, dear God's people, like 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, that if I am not faithful to the gospel, God has given us the time. God has entrusted the time, and we are to be faithful. We are to be wise enough so that we can be standing with God. We should be using our valuable time, the precious time that he has given us, the Kairos time he has given us. We should use it for his glory, for his kingdom. I'll be speaking few more things in the coming days, like few other things that we are going to give accounts to the Lord. The time which is given to me, I have to show him. Lord, I studied my education for 20 years and then finding job for 10 years. So all the accounts I'm going to give to the Lord. It may be very direct preaching, but I'm sorry to say that if God is really talking to you, let us be available to Christ. Let us think about God-given timing. God will ask us about that, and we should be faithful. Ephesians 5, 14 to 17, Paul says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. Sometimes we are like dead. We are living, but dead. We are living, but dead, because we are not living with Christ. We are not living with God. We are not living with the Word of God. We are not understanding the will of God. So we are like the dead people, you know. We are living, eating, enjoying our lives, doing so many things, living wonderful life. But in fact, the Bible says we are dead, because we are not serious about God's will, God's time, God's purposes, God's vision. My prayer is that this vision conference provokes us, inspires us, so that we can receive the vision, the true vision, the true vision to stand for Christ, to be witness for Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, walk not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand the will of God and be useful for his kingdom. Hebrews 13:15 says, while it is today, if thou hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, time, it's talking about time, today. Not tomorrow, not next month, next year, not after marriage, not after getting job, not after becoming grandfather, grandmother. Today is the time that I should give to the Lord. I should use the time for God's glory, for His kingdom. May God bless us and help us to understand what He has entrusted us. And my prayer is that God speak to us, inspire our hearts, even my heart. I'm doing so many things, but still I'm not satisfied. I have to do many things. Maybe there is something, some weaknesses I have that I need to do some more. I need to be witnessing many more. Nowadays, due to my health, slowly the age is growing, and I have traveled many, many mountains. So slowly we feel weak. But maybe we have to be very careful about our time, and as long as we are here, we should be glorifying God. If we bear much fruit, then the Father will be glorified. Thank you. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you.